Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I have had the pleasure of traveling to Africa a number of times over the years, including four trips as First Lady. And I've brought my mother and my daughters along with me whenever I can.
At our expense.
So believe me, the blood of Africa runs through my veins, and I care deeply about Africa's future.
We've got to get some resources to fight wildfires out west. Help, you know, that's a serious situation. We need more resources to deal with the situation in the southern part of the border, right, with some of those kids. We've got to be able to deal with that in a proper way.
So she had a nice trip to Africa because the blood of Africa runs in her veins, and he needs more money to deal with those kids. And the world goes on with America spinning off its axis, being run off the rails by the Obama team. So here we are, sitting here watching the world go round. Oh, welcome to the Savage Nation, I should say. It is a radio show. It's not just one man's opinion. And I have a couple of questions for you. But before I lead with the questions, I will ask you this question. France has just granted asylum to Iraqi Christians. Socialist France, run by a real Frenchman, even though he's a socialist, he's a Frenchman born in France, said it is willing to grant asylum to Iraqi Christians in the face of a jihadist onslaught against them by the Muslims. The ISIS Muslim murderers are blowing up churches, forcing Christians to convert to Islam or killing them. And so France has said they will take them in, while our own State Department said we should take them in, but Obama overruled it. I mean, how many different things have to happen until you realize who he is? Okay, I made my main Obama point today. Here's a question for you. Will Israel exist in 10 years? I know it's a shocking question. You assume that they're winning this war, which on the face of it, they are. They're winning the battle. I don't know that they're winning the war against radical Islam. With friends like us, I don't know that anyone can win this war against radical Islam. But that's a story for another day. Here's some good news out of Israel from Debka Review. Israeli Air Force takes out 40 mosques. Israeli Air Force blew up 40 mosques with new drones because they were rocket factories. They brought in a new drone into Gaza, and they using the new Hermes 900 UAV known as the Star, it can fly at 30,000 feet. It performs surveillance, communication at high altitudes, carries a heavy weapons load. They know they were bomb factories. They blew them up. Air Force takes out 40 mosques, brings new drone into Gaza operations. So the Israelis know what they're facing. They're facing annihilation or survival. We are so stupid, we don't understand that the enemy within is annihilating us. We have no idea that the enemy within is out to annihilate us. But okay, I'll just keep doing my thing. 40 mosques. In total, at least 50 so-called mosques have been blown up along with their stockpiles of rockets and arms caches. You see, to the Muslim, the mosque is used for, it's a multi-use facility. So not just what you think is it's a multi-use facility. It's very ecological. It can be used for prayer. It can be used for storing rockets. It can be used for launching rockets. It's not like a church in America or a synagogue. It's a multi-use facility. It's very ecological. So the Israelis said, well, we know they pray in the mosques, but they also stockpile rockets and arms, so we're going to blow them up. And that's what's going on. And the brand new Hermes 900 UAV is an unmanned drone known as the Star, never before used in wartime operations. The drone's debut in Israel was rushed forward because of its useful properties, says Debka. Listen to this. This drone can fly nonstop for 30 hours at an altitude of 30,000 feet. It conducts surveillance, it gathers intelligence, it relays communications back and forth to military personnel in the field. And then when they determine, for example, that the mosque is really a rocket factory, a rocket storage facility, they have 300 kilograms of explosives in the drone's warhead. And the fact of the matter is it was developed entirely in Israel by Elbit Systems. Elbit Systems. Can you imagine if we had fought in Iraq and Afghanistan with these rules of engagement? Can you imagine the country we'd be living in if we could have actually beaten them in Afghanistan instead of having this one have our boys run with their tails between their legs out of Iraq and see the worst scum on the planet take over the Sunni Triangle where they're killing Christians in a way that we've never seen since the Crusades? So that's what's going on in the world. Will Israel exist in 10 years? Now, why do I raise that question? I read a fascinating article last night that I was mulling over all evening. And it was written by a Russian who we tried to get on the show, but he lives in Israel. He speaks poor English. We couldn't find him. I think the guy's a stone cold genius. Alexander Mastrovoy. And he wrote for worldtribune.com. But I got to tell you this before I read some of this article about will Israel exist in 10 years. When you read a political analyst like Mastrovoy, the Russian, it's like reading a Dostoevsky novel compared to the monodimensional moronic idiocy that passes for analysis in America. We have idiots like George Will, who has been a poseur as an intellectual for years, a conservative intellectual. The other day he comes out for amnesty. We've always known who he is, another government agent. But now you read the Russians, and their analysis is... See, okay, our analysis is checkers. One board, checkers. This guy's analysis is seven different fields at once, in several different dimensions at once. But it requires a Russian mind. It requires an educated mind. It requires an ability to carry many different complex subjects at the same time. So he starts the article by saying, will Israel disappear in 10 years? As Kissinger said, in 10 years, Israel will cease to exist. He says, well, maybe it borders on the senile. Is it senile? Is it prophetic? Or is it merely pragmatic, he asks. So we know Kissinger is very controversial. We know that although he is of Jewish descent, he is not excessively sympathetic to Israel. In fact, the writer says, he inclines to the syndrome of self-hatred, so fashionable nowadays in the Jewish elite. Nicely put, Alexander. He inclines to the, quote, syndrome of self-hatred, so fashionable nowadays in the Jewish elite. Get it? That's about Kissinger. Then he says, but at the same time, Kissinger is not an exalted pop diva, a cheap populist, or a rebellious professor. He is an experienced, prudent politician who takes responsibility for his utterances. So what drove him to such a dramatic conclusion? Will Israel exist in 10 years? He said, so let's try to analyze the situation. And he goes into the whole discussion of Iran, and I can't read you all the details. Turkey, Iran, they're all involved. Jordan, Hussein, Sunni radicalism. And then he gets down to Russia, which I predicted the other day. And he says, as Obama withdraws from his support of Israel entirely in the last 2 years of his administration, as you know, Obama hates Israel. He has to get up and say that. He's a politician, so he deceives you. But it's all clear to anyone who has a brain that he has abandoned Israel and he's been supporting Hamas. So has Hillary Clinton. So has the entire Washington establishment, for that matter. Just as they've embraced Guatemalans over American veterans, they've embraced Hamas over Israel. They won't tell you that, but they go where the money is, Jake. That's that story. So then he comes to this point. He says, as a result, with its powerful army and stable economy, the Jewish state as the kingdom of David can maintain its security by playing with the contradictions of its enemies and by engaging in short-term alliances with its neighbors. Russia is the only superpower which is theoretically capable of enhancing its influence in the region. He says, however, on a paradoxical level, the interests of the Kremlin and Israel largely overlap. Didn't I tell you that the other day? That Obama will push Israel into Russia's sphere of influence? He then says that it's not accidental that Putin's recent visit, the first in the Middle East after his re-election, was perceived by Jerusalem as a very successful one. The relations between Israel and Russia are a classic example of a basic law of politics, which is, quote, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Moscow, like Jerusalem, has two dangerous enemies in the Middle East, bellicose Turkey and even more belligerent Sunni Islamism. And he says, in the long run, a fatal threat to Israel may come from the unified Arab world, but it is still too far from reaching its dream of the caliphate. And then he asked, is there any powerful force that can fatally undercut the strength of Israel? He said, yes, the West. He said, Israel is part of the West and has associated itself with the West. But the West, on the contrary, increasingly perceives Israel as a burden. This can already be considered a fait accompli for Europe. Obama has chosen this path too, he writes. From the beginning, he preferred a rapprochement with the Arab world at the expense of the Jewish state. We have too many proofs of this fact. From admiration of Edward Said and fondness for Rashid Khalidi, initiator of raising funds for the peace flotilla in 2010, to Obama's real policies, from the speech at the Cairo University, bowing to the Saudi monarch, and shameful shout-outs to Israel to stop construction in the settlements and even in Jerusalem. And he goes on, he talks about tectonic turmoil in the Middle East, which is forming a new reality. That's a great line. As you well know, tectonic turmoil is what's going on in the world, not only in the Middle East. Tectonic turmoil brought about, by the way, by George Soros' money, Zbigniew Brzezinski's architecture, and Obama and Hillary Clinton's activities. That's tectonic turmoil. Tectonic turmoil in the Middle East forms a new reality. And he goes on, and I won't bore you with it. I know you'd rather talk about a Thai egg roll, but I'm not going to stop right here. Here's where he ends up. He says, the West's ostracism of Israel will give a powerful impetus for domestic conflicts within Israel, which will be a mortal threat to the Jewish state. In other words, the liberals in Israel could bring Israel down. Did you hear what I just said? Just as the liberals in America have virtually destroyed this nation, the liberals in America have virtually destroyed America, and the liberals in Israel threaten to destroy Israel. Remember, a house divided cannot stand. And he concludes with this. He says, South Africa is the example of how easy it is for the West to wipe off the map a country which is connected to it and virtually dependent on it. The Munich syndrome is deeply rooted in the political psychology of the West. The banal short-sightedness, futility, and cowardice are traditionally called pragmatism. That's John Kerry. And pragmatism is respected. In this context, he concludes, Kissinger's forecast is quite pragmatic, meaning Israel may not exist in 10 years. So Kissinger said that in 10 years, Israel will cease to exist. The writer, Alexander Mastrovoy, from worldtribune.com and several other sources, I want to check to see if you can check this out on your own. I'm going to go to my own website because I sometimes find these deeply appealing articles. I hope it's still there. I don't know. Did it make it or not make it? Send it over to Art. Let's get it up there. You'll look at it yourself. That's the opening to the show. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll take your calls the minute I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So the big news today is that Boehner's having a nervous breakdown. His bill, which was a step towards amnesty, failed. They pulled it because of you. You melted the phone lines down to the White House. And the sellouts from the Better Business Bureau of Mexico and the Check Pants Republican Country Club are just shocked that the American people do not want to welcome the third world into their houses. Meanwhile, Jerry Brown is in Mexico on a junket where he came up with the equivalent of his moonbeam statement from many years ago. Jerry Brown said climate change will drive Mexicans north. It leaves you speechless. It just leaves you speechless. You've got the entire sellout administration and the Repubs trying to sell America out to Mexico, Guatemala, melt the border down, turn us into a single nation, despite the diseases, the drugs, the criminality, the mismatch between the cultures. 50% of the 50% of people of Hispanic heritage who are here legally want them deported, incidentally. Don't assume that all Hispanics want them here because they're their blood brothers. You know, don't buy that garbage. The only ones pushing it are the Indian chiefs. So anyway, that's one story. Meanwhile, in Israel is another story. Have you noticed that the attacks in Israel have suddenly come to a halt? They virtually stopped. The foaming-mouthed liberals who were ripping Israel to shreds over the last few days have shut their mouths. Why all of a sudden did the vermin in the media who were supporting Hamas shut their big mouths and stop attacking Israel? Have you thought about that? Where have they gone all of a sudden? Were they on August vacation? No, that's not what happened. They realized they were found out for who they are. The same people who stabbed America in the back were stabbing our ally in the back, Israel. So they shut up and they went on to another topic. But now we come to the next question, which I raised at the beginning of the hour. And that is, Kissinger says Israel will not exist in 10 years. And I discussed it with you, reading parts of a brilliant article by Alexander Mastrovoy from Israel. And I want to ask you, yes, will they survive or won't they survive? Let's begin with Jimmy on KSFO in San Francisco. Jimmy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks, Art Savage. I'm having a hard time seeing all of this going in a direction that's going to resolve peacefully. It seems like it's really interesting to me because I see this as becoming some sort of like left-right issue for some reason. I don't understand how that's happened because, you know, all of my like liberal and even some of my more, you know, libertarian-minded friends are, you know, very supportive of Palestine. And in a way, I don't really understand like how, you know, it's become like this right-left paradigm argument.
And that's because they're ignoramuses. They're children who are brainwashed in schools and by the media because they've never been outside their own houses. They've never been in the real world. So they automatically assume that the brown-skinned Palestinians are the oppressed minority and the evil white European Israelis are the interloper. It's that simple. They've been brainwashed. However, if they were to visit an Arab nation, they wouldn't last 5 minutes before they'd be beaten and thrown into a holding cell. You know what they really need to do is go visit Gaza with their eyes wide open and see how long they last there and tell them they come in peace. And then let them go visit Israel if they should survive that and see how long it would be until they were welcomed to someone's home and given a cup of tea. It's as simple as that. They don't understand what they're talking about, which is why they're on the side of granting amnesty to illegal aliens. They're ignoramuses. They've been brainwashed. It's a combination of drugs, sex, rock and roll, and a very bad educational system. Well, lucky for them, they have me and some others left in America who see what's going on. Unfortunately, God sees the truth but waits. I wish he'd stop waiting.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560,
KSFO. It is the Savage Nation. We're dealing with two topics. One is the sellout of America to the illegal alien lobby. And will Israel exist in 10 years? Kissinger has said it will not. Those are the two questions that I want to talk about, and if you care to join the conversation, you'll reach more people than you've met in your entire life on the Savage Nation. 15 minutes, and you'll get America as well. Let us begin with the next caller, WABC in New York City. John, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. John, not there, dead in the water. WABC in New York, Howard, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm not an educated man, but I'm from the street. And what I see going on here is I see democracy being destroyed. A man like Netanyahu is brave enough to stand up against the Arab scum that's trying to destroy Israel and take over various other free societies are left out in the dark to fend for themselves. I think it's part of a bigger picture of the New World Order. I know this sounds crazy, but they don't want men like Benjamin Netanyahu, who I pray for, because this man has balls and he sticks up for his country and he's a man, unlike what we have in the White House.
I think that what you said is extremely literate. One doesn't need an education to know what survival is and what submission is. And never forget that the word Islam means submission. You know that, don't you?
I understand that, but I feel...
Did you know that the word Islam doesn't mean peace, it means submission?
I have no love for the Arabs, Dr. Savage. I see.
Well, here's the thing to remember about the Arab people. When you say the Arabs, you're wrong. Because I know Arab Christians who are Arabs who are as threatened by this as are Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists. And there are Muslim Arabs who are as threatened by this as you can see what's going on in Iraq. I mean, they're killing Shiites as well and blowing up Shiite tombs. So you can't say the Arabs. You have to understand you're dealing with a large population of people who are respecting of many religions. Then just one strain of them are the Nazis of our time. But I thank you for your heartfelt feelings. Somebody wrote this, and it's about John Legal versus John Illegal. It's very interesting. John Legal versus John Illegal. And he was trying to show people what happens in a country between two families, one legal, John Legal, and one illegal. Both families, he writes, have two parents, two children, and live in Arizona. John Legal works in construction, has a Social Security number, and makes $25 an hour with taxes deducted. Juan Illegal also works in construction, has no Social Security number, and gets paid $15 in cash under the table. John Legal, 25 an hour times 40 hours equals $1,000 a week, or $52,000 a year. Now take 30% away for state and federal tax. John Legal now has $31,200, right? Juan Illegal earns 15 an hour times 40 hours is $600 a week, or $31,200 a year. Juan Illegal pays no taxes. Juan Illegal now has $31,200. Juan Legal pays his medical and dental insurance with limited coverage for his family at $600 a month, or $7,200 a year. Juan Legal now has $24,000 left of his earnings. But Juan Illegal has full medical and dental coverage through the state and local clinics and emergency hospitals at a cost of $0 per year. Juan Illegal still has $31,000 a year. John Legal makes too much money and is not eligible for food stamps or welfare. So John Legal pays $500 a month for food, or $6,000 a year. John Legal is now down to $18,000 a year. Juan Illegal has no documented income and is eligible for food stamps, WIC, and welfare. Juan Illegal still has $31,200. John Legal pays rent of $1,200 a month, or $14,400 a year. That leaves John Legal $9,600 a year. Juan Illegal receives $500 a month in federal rent subsidies. Juan Illegal pays out that $500 a month, or $6,000 per year. Juan Illegal is still left with $31,200. John Legal pays $200 per month, or $2,400 for car insurance. Some of that is uninsured motorist insurance. John Legal now has $7,200 left. Juan Illegal says we don't need insurance, and he still has $31,200. John Legal has to make his $7,200 that is left stretch out to pay utilities and gasoline, etc. Juan Illegal has to make his $31,200 stretch to pay utilities, gasoline, and what he sends out of the country every month to his homeland. John Legal now works overtime on Saturdays or gets a part-time job after work. Juan Illegal has nights and weekends off to enjoy with his family. John Legal's and Juan Illegal's children both attend the same elementary school. John Legal pays for his children's lunches, while Juan Illegal's children get a government-sponsored lunch. Juan Illegal's children have an after-school ESL program. John Legal's children go home. So when they reach college age, what happens? John Legal's kids may not get into a state school and may not qualify for scholarships, grants, or other tuition help, even though John has been paying for state schools through his taxes, while Juan Illegal's kids go to the head of the class because they're a minority. John Legal and Juan Illegal both enjoy the same police and fire services, but John paid for them and Juan did not pay. The writer concludes, if you vote for or support any politician who supports illegal aliens, you're part of the problem. It's very simple. It is very simple. It's very straightforward. Who can afford this? Nancy Pelosi, apparently. She's the one who loves them all. She washes their feet. She says they're the baby Jesus. They're the next Einstein. John Boehner loves them as well, because they will no doubt apply the man tan to his skin in his old age, in the old age home, as they push him in front of a curtain, and he sits there talking to himself in a pink tie. Connecticut, David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, Israel will never disappear. And the thing, too, is that they have over probably 80 to 100 nukes. So when the time comes when America finally abandons Israel like they're doing right now, and they have no choice. They will never, ever, ever be tattooed and thrown into a concentration camp again.
It sounds good on the radio, and it makes you feel good to say that, but it's not going to be that dramatic. It's not going to be whether they'll be tattooed and thrown in a concentration camp. The article is far more nuanced than that. It says that once America withdraws its support, as the EU has done, it leaves Israel isolated as South Africa is isolated, and it has very few options at that point. That's the whole point. We're talking about economic starvation.
Well, I'm talking about Israel alone. The world is just going to come and get her. That's what they're trying to do now. So I'm saying that Israel will protect herself by nuking their enemies.
Well, that's a little over the top. I don't think it's going to come to the nuke situation, because the world is trying to destroy Israel in another way, which is isolating it psychologically and financially the way they're doing to Russia. Remember that. The very same. See, I try to explain this in my forthcoming book, which I can't keep mentioning over and over again. I'm trying to tell you that the New World Liberal Order, when you say New World Order, change it. It's not the New World Order, because it has no real meaning. It doesn't mean anything. It's the New World Liberal Order. I changed it to that a few months ago. And it's a big part of my forthcoming book, which is out in a couple of weeks in October, Stop the Coming Civil War. And I say that one of the last bulwarks against the New World Liberal Order is Putin. He is their number one enemy. He's the enemy number one. I would say Israel's enemy number two. And it's really paradoxical or ironic when you consider that Islam stands in the way of everything liberal. Can you understand that? Can anyone explain to me why the liberals embrace Islam when it stands against gay rights, women's rights, freedom in general? Can anyone explain to me why the left embraces Islam? The answer is simple. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. In other words, although they may not like Islam, they know Islam's a powerful soldier army that could destroy all of their enemies who enjoy freedom. It's that simple. The worldwide communist movement, the worldwide Soviet system that is emerging in the shape and form that we see it, first in Europe, erasing borders, destroying sovereignty, telling you what to think, telling you what to eat, telling you what you can breathe, that is a new world order. And now their latest scam is a carbon tax. Global warming, all lies. Lies from the top to the bottom. And it's an attempt to gull people into thinking that they have to pay a higher tax, higher taxes rather, not only nationally, but also internationally. So let's stick to the question. Let's calm down here. Kissinger said Israel will not exist in 10 years, according to the article that I was reading in the World Tribune. In 10 years, Israel will cease to exist. And I'll quote now, in 10 years there will be no more Israel. So is this a self-hatred of a Jewish man who wants to deny his Jewishness? Or is there a real and grave threat to Israel? And so we analyze the situation from the point of view of Alexandra Mastrovoy, who wrote this great article. And he combines all of the elements, feuding enemies, surrounding nations. And let me give you one example. He writes this. Israeli military power is vastly based on American development and support systems. For example, the missile defense system, David Sling, for intercepting ballistic missiles in radiuses of 260 kilometers, so vital to Israel, is a joint venture with the American Raytheon Company. Cutbacks on cooperation will weaken Israel, denying its missile shield against Syria and Hezbollah. And this applies to all military areas. Moreover, the West's ostracism will give a powerful impetus for domestic conflicts, which will be a mortal threat to the Jewish statehood. He writes, from the kingdoms of David and Solomon to Hashmonaean dynasty, that's Jordan, to Israel in the present, isolated and split, it will lose its binding capacity. So that's what he writes. What do you think? WMAL in Washington, D.C. Don, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Thanks for taking the call. I'm shocked that Dr. Kissinger would say such a thing about Israel. It's like saying that we won't have a moon in 10 years. It's ludicrous. The Israeli state has an opportunity that's been presented to it, not by its own making, to finally remove the Gaza Strip as the thorn in their side that they've had since 1967, if they choose to take it. And I'm suggesting they consider the military and political colonization of Gaza with a view towards very quickly attempting to assimilate it into part of Israel. This way, the Gazan Arabs will enjoy the same lifestyle that the Israeli Arabs do. It will end Hamas's influence forever. I don't think it's going to happen because of the political ramifications, but it could happen. The only loud honking would come from the UN, and that would die out in about 6 months.
Well, I think what Israel has decided to do, I reported at the top of the hour that they've destroyed many mosques, and this is absolutely unbelievable when you consider how we walk on eggshells around Islam in this country and how we dare not even let the FBI listen in on a radical mosque at all, because, you know, the ACLU would jump all over anyone who implies that there's even a bad Muslim in a mosque. So Israel said, you know what, they're firing rockets at us from mosques. They blew them up. They're going to create a cordon sanitaire of about 2 miles in depth, which will push the rocketeers way back into a narrower strip than they currently enjoy. And I think that will greatly limit the military capacities of Hamas, don't you?
Yes, sir. In lieu of complete colonization, that may be the very best they can do.
Well, I don't think Israel can handle colonizing Gaza as they have the so-called West Bank. They have enough problems on their hands with the millions of people who hate their guts, who live in Judea and Samaria. The last thing they need is to send their boys into the Gaza Strip on a daily basis. I don't think they want that. But I thank you for at least listening to the suggestion, because he's saying, I got to tell you something. He's saying, it can't happen. What is he talking about? You know, let's focus on domestic stuff. Hey, Mike, tell us about a Thai egg roll, whatever, like I did yesterday. Yesterday was a fun show. I was in one of my zany moods. I was eating on air. I was telling jokes on air. I had a good time on air. Today I'm not. It's a tough thing what's going on in the world right now. And all of us in the business, by what I hear, are dealing with it in our own ways. And it's taking its toll on all of us. The world is falling apart. The clown continues his clownish act. The world continues to melt down. The Republicans don't represent the American people. And many of us are feeling the stresses of it. So in my case, I dealt with it in my own way. And that was living well, because living well is the best revenge. So I went to my favorite Basque restaurant. And I overindulged in vodka, as I told you I do. I'm not hiding. A big deal. Was it a crime? I feel great. I have no hangover, but I'm just telling you my mood is different. So I'm more somber today because I was thinking of Mastroevsky's article during the dinner, if you can believe it. I was reading it during the dinner. Reading it during the dinner. And then to top it all off, I came home and fell asleep immediately. At 1:30 in the morning, for no reason whatsoever, I jumped up out of bed. And there was Teddy sitting at the door because he had been sick and he had messed the floor. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Here are some other questions for you to ponder on the Savage Nation. Who wants impeachment more, Dems or Repubes? Why does the UN spend so much time bashing Israel and no time on the plight of genocide against Christians in the Middle East? I think that's an easy one to figure out. Marijuana addiction horror stories. I was going to do that earlier, but I got sidetracked because a leading doctor, the president of the American Society of Addiction Medicine, and chairman of the Scientific Advisory Board of Smart Approaches to Marijuana, wrote an article on CNN, which, you know, I'd say is in close approximates my viewpoint, which is the dangers of marijuana legalization. He says it's a risk not worth taking. And it's like playing the lottery. And he also says with marijuana, people can experience long-term psychiatric disease. Now, listen to this. Millennial dummies out there, listen carefully. Those who use marijuana heavily prior to age 25 are more likely than non-users to experience a drop in IQ. Let me repeat that for emphasis. If you use marijuana heavily prior to age 25, your brain won't work anymore, not as it did originally. You'll sound like either Nancy Pelosi or Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Barbara Boxer. Now, I'm not implying that they used marijuana, but that kind of brain that is not functioning, that speaks without thinking, that speaks without being rooted in reality, is an example of what happens to people on marijuana. Here's a news story. Ebola outbreak won't stop Obama's plans for a summit of African leaders. Can you believe this, man? He's bringing them in from the countries where Ebola is raging out of control. We have no plans to change any elements of the U.S.-Africa summit, said the Deputy Press Secretary Eric Schultz.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today, to follow up on their tirade against the poor children, they have a bill that is so bad that it's not bad enough for some of their outside groups to whom they pander. And so in order to sweeten the pie for them and intensify the harm for the children, they've added another bill to follow the supplemental that they have on the floor. Supplemental does not track humanitarian assistance, due process, assistance to repatriate these children back to their own countries in a safe way.
Why is Nancy Pelosi obsessed with these children from Honduras and Guatemala and has no feeling whatsoever for our veterans dying in hallways in VA hospitals? Why is Obama obsessed with the children from Guatemala and El Salvador without a scintilla of emotion for our dying veterans? Why is Obama concerned about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, so-called, without a scintilla of concern for the desire to wipe the Jews off the planet coming from Iran and other sources? Why is Obama bringing in the leaders of African nations where they have experienced close to 1,000 deaths from Ebola, bringing in the leaders of African nations with large entourages from the very nations where Ebola is raging out of control to push his Africa summit? Why is he doing this? Does anyone have any idea what's going on? Welcome to the Savage Nation. The number one question that is lingering from the last hour is, will Israel exist in 10 years? I know it's a shocking thought, but the fact of the matter is, Kissinger allegedly wrote that, and it was discussed on the show. In this hour, I want to continue on those topics, as well as marijuana legalization, which is one of the greatest disasters waiting the United States of America. And an article came out on CNN from Dr. Stuart Gitlow, president of the American Society of Addiction Medicine, chairman of the Scientific Advisory Board of Smart Approaches to Marijuana, and he says no. He's talking about the addictive nature of marijuana, the long-term psychiatric diseases, the loss in IQ to those who smoke. And he said, quote, "If I told you I'm selling a lottery ticket where you have a chance of winning and must accept one, a benefit that will last a few hours, or two, a permanently malfunctioning brain, three, lifelong addiction, or four, the Powerball, meaning psychosis, would you play?" And he says, the New York Times editorial board thinks that the risk is worth taking as it promotes legalization of marijuana sales and use. Why would it and other marijuana proponents put the public in harm's way, he asks. Look, sir, Dr. Gitlow, I can answer that. It's very simple, because liberalism is a mental disorder. The same reason that the New York Times supports Hamas, the same reason the New York Times supports Obama, the same reason the New York Times tells us to take in as many of the children of the world who are poor, tells us that marijuana is harmless and it's good for people. So that's the answer. I could tell you that the benefit of a brief high is not worth all of the known risks, including the addiction of about 17% of young people who decide to try marijuana. So I'm trying to tell you that there's still a chance for you not to destroy your brain, not to wind up in recovery from addiction. And if you want to talk about that, the Africa summit that Obama's going ahead with, even though there's an Ebola outbreak. Will Israel exist in 10 years? 855-407-2282 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the first caller, Robin in Georgia. Go ahead, please, Robin. Thanks for holding.
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage, for allowing me to talk to you there. I see that you've written many books, which is good. But first of all, are you from Russia? Are your parents from Russia?
Excuse me, what am I, on trial?
Well, I know you said you like to drink vodka, and I know they like, I guess, stuff.
So wait, what does it matter? You mean my country of origin determines whether you accept what I say?
Well, just answer the
question. I mean, isn't that rather biased? I mean, what is your origin?
Well, I'm from original from Africa. Everyone is original.
Oh, you're originally from Africa. And what did you drink in Africa that has brought you to our fair country?
See, if you believe in the Bible, Adam and Eve, that's what I call because.
And so what is it that you, what is you calling about? What you calling about, Robin?
You mentioned about Hamas, and you just mentioned about the whole history of the Bible. Because, like I said, everybody is related to Adam and Eve.
No, sir, you got to talk a little slower. We can't follow your accent. The question is simple. Henry Kissinger said that Israel will cease to exist in 10 years. Apparently, you are calling to say, yes, it will not exist.
Well, according to the Bible, it will happen if in the event that the Antichrist is going to come first. You mentioned about the New World Order. That is the Antichrist when they're talking about the New World Order. It's going to be 7 years of peace. But yet and still, Israel, of course...
I'm sorry, I can't follow you. I would never have taken this call, Robert. I have a rule. Let me tell you the rule. As brilliant as the man may be or as stupid, I couldn't tell. I have four rules on the show on my calls. You ready for them? Here they are. No foreign accents because I can't understand them. If I can't understand them, what's the listener sitting out there in Radio Land going to do? They must have broke their ears. Number two, no children. I don't like children. Oh, Dr. Savage, I love your show. What books do you read? Number two, no one asks me how I feel because you don't know me. Don't ask me how I feel. Okay, let's go to the callers now. Let's try again. WABC, Harold, let's try you. Do you speak English? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I speak English pretty good. Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. You know, first of all, I just comment on the Israeli situation. Israel will definitely exist within 10 years. If not for biblical reasons, for military reasons as well. There has been a great change, I think, in the war in Gaza that's going on now within the Israeli government in terms of the way it responds to the United States pressure.
They've told the United States to go to hell, and they've decided to go in and do what they have to do, and they don't care what Barack Hussein Obama has to say.
Exactly, but generally their problem has always been oversensitivity to it. The Israelis...
Wait. There's another element that everyone's missing but me. I'm the only one in the American media who's pointed this out about 30 times in the last week. This is the first time in the history of Israel that they've had three major Arab allies sitting on the sidelines saying and doing nothing. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the Emirates. That's the big difference here.
The core element here is the basis and the strength of the Israeli military that have come up with major inventions since 1979 till now. The Merkava of a tank made in Israel. Notwithstanding that the guy says we need everything only from American...
Hold on a minute. You can say the Merkava tank is made in Israel, but they have no iron. They have no steel of their own. They're dependent upon outside sources of steel.
Okay, sorry, regardless. The point is...
Well, don't say regardless. You have to understand something. I've studied wars, and it's been analyzed that those who have won all of the last major wars... The major wars were those who produced more steel. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe that. But let me just say this. The point is this. This is the first time Israel has gone to war in a while, and this is my main thesis, where they really understand what I was told a long time ago by a great Jewish leader, that in order to win a war, you have to gain a surrender on the battlefield. This business of incessant ceasefires, that you can just allow the nation to rebuild itself, there is a monster difference from an unconditional surrender on the battlefield and really, really allowing yourself to pulverize the enemy to where he's forced to accept terms as opposed to allowing some political...
Well, I believe that the hawks in Israel are taking control because the Israeli Air Force took out 40 mosques where they were hiding rocket stores. And for them to do that means they don't give a rat's behind what the EU says to them, nor what Barack Obama says. They used the new Hermes 900 UAV to blow up the mosques. I don't think you... Did you hear that at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. That was a very important point. Because it shows that their sensitivity to the American and worldwide pressure about the humanity and the double standard that they have to incorporate in prosecuting a war, and I'm a product of the military, as opposed to the rest of the world, that double standard, they're saying, we understand that if people put weapons in places, they are...
How many of our men were killed or maimed in Iraq and Afghanistan because the vile enemy was hiding in a mosque and firing not only machine guns but RPGs at them and then hiding back in their little holy land? And the American military wanted to blow them to Allah. But their commanders, the cowards in Washington, said, oh, don't blow up a mosque. Oh, don't shoot at the mosque. Let them kill you better. We don't want the bad publicity. And look at the result of that.
We're going to invest in the Israeli armament industries and help them maintain strong political posture.
All right. Well, look, we didn't get an answer. 855-407-282. We're going to go now to a couple of other topics. Congress is on recess right now. Tomorrow, it's already there. Ran home. It leads me to another question. Should Congress and the schools both be on 12-month calendars? What is it? They have to go home on horseback to pick fruit because it's August? You know, air conditioning has been around for a little while now. You mean they can't stay there in the midst of the overrun of our borders, the Middle East war, the ginned-up crisis with Russia? They have to go home now by horseback to help on the farm to pick fruit? And while we're talking about shouldn't Congress be on a 12-month schedule, which, of course, it's long overdue to stop living in the 1800s, why not our schools? Why are our schools closed in July and August? Why are our little children sent to play in the streets for 2 months? Why? Why are schools not on a 12-month cycle? In other words, you can get out of high school in 3 years that way instead of four. You know, in elementary school, I remember the first 6 years, I remember I learned four things. I learned what a peninsula was, which they repeated every grade, the same thing, and how to add and how to spell. That was about it. I could have learned it in about 2 years instead of six. High school I could have done in 3 years if it was a 12-month schedule. I don't understand why Congress is taking an August recess. What are they, psychiatrists? Where are they going for August recess? Why are they taking off right now? It's a good question. Why? Well, here's a question to you. Should Congress and schools both be on 12-month calendars? Yes. WMAL Victoria, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey, that's the topic. Michael, I can't believe you said that. I've been trying to call all week long because Thursday was coming and Congress was leaving. I spent hours on the phone this morning calling congressmen and saying that from my family to you, I don't understand how, you know, I would never go on vacation with my oven on. So how can Congress take a protracted vacation while the world is on fire and the nation is under invasion?
Because they're useless idiots. They're worthless, useless idiots. That's the answer.
Post any.
What are they living in George Washington, on George Washington's calendar?
They have to
go back to Monticello to pick the fruit?
That must be where it's from. And you know something? They've raised their salary in the last 200 years, but they certainly haven't fixed that, have they? The schedule. They have no.
I don't know. Boehner must be going out to be fitted for a new swimsuit.
Would you agree with me? They have no business leaving their post while the nation's under invasion.
Well, they're the ones who invaded the nation. They're the ones who let the nation be invaded. What do you mean, leaving their post? They're the ones waving in the Guatemalans and El Salvadorans. What do you mean, leaving it while it's under its soil? They're the ones who assaulted the nation. That's why they're going on vacation. And look, Obama has a five-weeker coming, a four-weeker, I think, in Martha's Vineyard. That's very important. He needs a good vacation, too. He's worked very hard this year. You know, raising funds is difficult. Look at this already. Look what just happened. It's 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. I want Motley Crue with the motorcycle on Girls, Girls, Girls when we come back in the next one. That's the one I really want to come back with. By the way, those of you who've asked for the internet comment by Blue Haas on John Legal and Juan Illegal, we're putting it up on michaelsavage.com for you to share with your friends in Congress. 855-400-7282. Kyle on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, Dr. Savage, how are you?
And what's your comment or question?
Correct. I'm trying to understand how you can gain the moral ground, or the government can gain the moral ground to decide what somebody can consume or ingest into their body and make it such.
No, I'm not saying the government should determine whether you should consume marijuana. I'm telling you to make your own decision.
Okay, so you're telling somebody to make their own decision. But, you know, I've had personal experiences with, people that consume alcohol maybe more than just a regular.
But I'm not telling you to get drunk. I didn't say use alcohol. I didn't say stop using pot and start using alcohol. I didn't say that. This shows you what marijuana has already done to your brain, is that you can't even understand what I'm saying to you.
Nope.
Why is it that potheads are so defensive about their drug?
Why are alcoholics so open?
No. Don't change the subject. You're not dealing with a Talmudic classroom right now. Okay, are you listening to anybody? Do you have any idea what marijuana does to your brain?
Do you have any idea what alcohol does to your brain?
Oh, you see, yeah, I have a radio show and you don't. Any other questions? I have some answers for you.
Yes, correct. So I do.
You have nothing to do but call a radio show because obviously you're busy smoking pot and telling everybody how wonderful it is. I mean, you and your skateboard and marijuana is not a complete world. Thanks for the call. Idiots. Idiots. They just don't get it, no matter what you say to them. You tell them that marijuana smoke has more toxins than cigarette smoke, they'll tell you, why do you drink alcohol? You tell them that 70% of those who smoke marijuana become addicted, they tell you, why do you drink alcohol? You tell them that they can die from driving while stoned marijuana, they'll tell you, people who drink shouldn't drive. They're not hearing you. And this is the interesting thing. Few people who drink alcohol, and I'm not defending it, will defend alcohol. Everyone who smokes pot, the key element of their addiction, the key indicator of their addiction, defensiveness. They will defend the marijuana above the defense of their own life. They become so attached to Mary Jane that they defend her at all costs. It's like their girlfriend because they're addicted. They don't even understand how addicted they are. So, you know, you can say that you're running an addiction center, as Dr. Gitlow does. You can look at what Dr. Gitlow says, where he's not saying drink instead of smoke. But they will continue to smoke marijuana and tell you it's not bad for them until it's too late. Because they cannot give up the brief high. They're addicted. He says it's almost as if we have to burn our fingers again to be convinced that the stove is still hot. As with tobacco, a significant number of people who try marijuana will become addicted. Did you know that the rehab facilities are filled with marijuana addicts, young teenage boys? Did you know that your IQ will drop significantly if you smoke marijuana?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. The world's aflame and they're taking the month off. Ebola outbreak in Africa, and he's bringing in entourages from the very countries for an Africa conference. In other words, instead of saying, you know what, let's delay it till the epidemic is under control. Let's rethink the Africa conference till the Ebola epidemic is under control. No. He goes ahead. Despite the fact that you've got gangs running drugs into America with the children, despite the fact that you have diseases coming in with the children, oh, bring them all in. It's a humanitarian gesture. What this is the Democrats are operating on the theory of unnatural selection. They're doing the reverse of natural selection. It's unnatural selection. That's what they're doing. Here's the news headline. You wonder why they get able to get away with it. Look what Murdoch's New York Post has become. In my day, it was the conservative alternative to the Daily News, which was the liberal paper. My father got 6 newspapers a day. I never forget the news, the Mirror, the Journal American, the Post, amongst others. We never read the New York Times. That was for the big shots who knew how to fold it on the subway. Later on, when I became a young social worker, it took me a while. I had to go into training on how to fold the New York Times while wearing a Brooks Brothers raincoat on the subway to make believe I was intelligent. I had no idea why I wanted to read the Times, but I did. So here's the headlines on the new New York Post, which is no longer run by Murdoch. Apparently one of his liberal children took it over. Rays trade Dave Price to Tigers. Stoner, I surrendered Brooklyn Bridge. Giraffe and truck dies after hitting overpass. Bloom never looked at Kerr the same after 2012 lingerie show. Lifeguarding ladies compete in New Jersey. Miranda Kerr's beauty packs a punch. Then on the bottom, you get to the news. House abandons vote on immigration bill with a picture of Boehner surrendering. CIA officers broke into Senate computers. West Africa Ebola outbreak tops 700 deaths, blah, blah, blah. And the front page is curses. Bloom's pain, Beebs taunts over Miranda. This is the New York Post. And you wonder why the people are morons. The newspapers used to shape the country. They do now. They still shape the country. That's why the country is like Nutty Putty. 855-407-282. Let's take some calls on all of these topics. I mean, I can't do but... Well, who's line five? Dan on in Des Moines. Dan in Des Moines, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
All right. Well, I wanted to come today with you news, and if anybody doesn't believe me, I'll put it up. I'll put it up on the internet. I had a major major medical emergency based off of smoking marijuana for a long time. I used to work at a medical marijuana facility when I used to live in Colorado. And I smoked it for so long and so long. I had depression issues, anxiety issues, and after smoking one day, I had a panic attack. Well, it wasn't just a panic attack. The doctors diagnosed me with broken heart syndrome. They had to put a ballooning pump procedure on my left aortic ventricle because it was inflaming. If they didn't fix it, I would have killed.
Wait. Did the doctor say that the aortic problem was related to your ingestion, your inhalation of marijuana all those years, or not?
They said marijuana caused my anxiety disorder.
It does. Marijuana induces great anxiety in almost everybody.
Exactly.
It's called paranoia, the sweaty palms, the feeling that people are after you, the sense that everything you say is dramatically important. And then when you look at the writing afterwards, you see it's gibberish. I don't understand how people can't understand what it's doing to them. I don't get it. Just because the powers that be want you to be stoned so they can manipulate you further doesn't mean that it's safe for you.
Well, other than that, look at Colorado. I bet you nobody ever says this on the media. But look at Denver right now. It looks like Skid Row out there. You know how many people are flooding into Colorado? I used to live in Colorado.
Isn't that the new face of America under Obama? A gigantic Detroit? A gigantic Detroit where the oligarchs run the nation and give you your food, your medicine, your clothing, your dental care, the government sneakers, the government phone. That's called fascism.
That's right.
And they call it fairness. That's the guys. Fascism is now fairness. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Thanks for the call, my friend. Neil, send me the list of toxicants in marijuana smoke, which I've talked about many times, because the kids out there can still be saved from the... It's not a moral issue. Do you understand that I don't care whether you shoot heroin? It doesn't matter to me. I mean, my personal feeling is that all drug dealers should be executed as they do in Malaysia. That's what I think. That would put an end to the epidemic of drug use in America. I remember when I went to Malaysia many years ago, you drive in from the airport in Kuala Lumpur. It says the use of drugs is illegal. It's punishable by death. That put a damper on a lot of people's desire to get high in Malaysia. And if you notice that under Nancy Reagan, there was a slogan, just say no, and under Obama, it's wink, wink, just say yes. In other words, the absence of condemnation is support. Under Nancy Reagan, the slogan was just say no. Under the Obamas, it's wink, wink, just say yes. Drug, sex, and rock and roll rule. Look at who they have in the White House for their parties. Take a look at what goes on behind closed doors. Well, what I would give some videotape of that one. I'm just trying. See, it's not moralizing. It doesn't matter to me whether you're a stoner. What matters to me is whether you understand what you're doing to yourself and how you've been hoodwinked by George Soros and his legalization crowd. I'm trying to tell you that if you go to clinics in the country that are treating kids who are addicted to marijuana, adults addicted to marijuana, they'll tell you how hard it is to kick marijuana. I've told you that when I was younger, I smoked pot. It's not an evil. I'm not saying it's evil. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying evil. You'll go to hell. I didn't say that. I'm telling you that medically it's damaging to your body. And you see, there's a big difference between alcohol and marijuana as well. I may as well tell it to you now. I've done this before. I'll do it again until more people hear me. It's a very important differential. And I'm not arguing you should drink. Don't get me wrong. Don't confuse what I'm saying. However, alcohol is water soluble. and you'll eliminate it within 24 hours through your urine. I'm talking about within reasonable amounts of alcohol. I'm not talking about drunks in the Bowery or drunks in the wine bars wearing nice suits who make believe that they're not drunks. But marijuana, on the other hand, is fat-soluble, which means it stays in your lipids for days or weeks. In other words, if you were to smoke a joint today and it didn't smoke one for a week, the lipids that you have in your body, the fat cells, will still carry the marijuana residue, the marijuana elements, the active principles, if you want to put them that way. I mean, I realize this is more interesting than will Israel exist in 10 years. And I realize that most people who are addicted don't want to know they're addicted. But you better start listening to people who are addiction specialists. They'll tell you the stories about the young boys who are now in treatment centers across America because they cannot kick the drug. It's addictive. You have to also understand, ask yourself a simple question. Can you do math on marijuana? No. You can't do math on marijuana. Your mind can't compute, which is why the government wants you stoned on marijuana. This is one of the greatest tragedies about to befall this country. It is, in my opinion, the equivalent of the English dumping opium on the Chinese population and enslaving them for a very long period of time. The Chinese became addicted to opium. They became malleable as a result of their addiction, and the English did it. As a side note to that, there were many American fortunes made in the opium trade, including that of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's maternal grandfather, Delano, Mr. Delano. See, he was the mule. He ran the ships that brought the opium in for the English. He was the mule of his time. He ran the mules in his time. But like all American fortunes of those days, it was built upon blood. And they say in the first generation, the fortune is red. By the third generation, the fortune is completely white. You understand how that works? It's an old story. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm talking about it from the point of view of medical, nothing else. WBAP, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to call for all the potheads out there. Coming from an ex-pothead, I smoked from the time that I was 12 years old until I was 28. When I was 14, I had 148 IQ. I have 112 IQ right now. Now, mind you, I'm 40 years old, so I know some of it kind of got wiped away with age, but I can't help but to think that maybe something had something to do with it. You know?
Well, according to Dr. Gitlow, who's the president of the American Society of Addiction Medicine, he was on CNN, and he said that it does lower your IQ. He says, those who use it heavily prior to age 25 are more likely than non-users to experience a drop in IQ. And he says, let me repeat, if you use marijuana heavily prior to age 25, your brain won't work anymore, not as it did originally. Would you die young as with tobacco? He said, we'll have to wait a generation to find out, just as we did with tobacco. Our children will be the guinea pigs. That's an expert in the field. That's not George Soros. That's not the governors who were suddenly cashing in on the revenue. And there's an eventual addiction of about 17% of young people who decide to try marijuana. All right, that's the end of it. I've often worried about the driving while stoned issue. I don't know why there are no laws against it. You know, people drive on marijuana, they think that they're in control. Obviously, they're not. I don't get it. Certainly, you want laws against drunk driving. We have them. The prisons are filled with people who on DUIs. Why not DUSs? Driving under... Can you be charged with a DU... driving while stoned? Yeah, but how do the cops prove it? What do they do? They have you blow in their mouth? I mean, in your nose? I mean, what's the test for marijuana addiction on the road? They don't have, like, a thing you blow into. Do they? Neil, a police bong. Neil, do you have that thing yet of the thing on the... I had it. It doesn't matter. They won't listen to me anyway. If I tell them it has nitrogen dioxide, if it has carbon dioxide, they won't care. Here, this is from the New York Post, the land of upskirt journalism. Headline, Sammy Davis Jr.'s address book on the auction block. Why would anybody want that? Sammy Davis Jr.'s address book on the auction block. I'm not... All the numbers are landline phones. Oh, wow. I really got to get that list. If you buy Sammy Davis Jr.'s address book, you're going to get the landline phone of Frank Sinatra, dead, Dean Martin dead, and Joey Bishop dead. If you buy at auction Sammy Davis Jr.'s A-list address book. You're going to get Liz Taylor's phone number, Gene Kelly, Rock Hudson, Jack Lemmon, Jerry Lewis, Burt Reynolds, Sidney Poitier, and Mickey Rooney. And what are you going to do with them? Can you, anyone? Why would anyone want this stuff? I knew a man many years ago. He was a very bright man. He bid for Marilyn Monroe's brassiere at auction. This I didn't understand. He was not a cross-dresser. He was a rather petulant ex-heterosexual in the sense that he was no longer sexual at all. He was a man in his 70s and not at all interested in sex. He was only interested in French food and food in general. But for some reason, when Marilyn Monroe's brassiere came up on the auction block, he bid it, and he proudly showed it to me once at his house. He said, look, I have Marilyn Monroe's brassiere. Now, I respected the man greatly, so I didn't say anything. I just nodded like you would to a child who's being somewhat precocious. Wow, that's great. Really interested in that. I mean, that makes as much sense as whatever. Family show, can't go on with that thought. If I could, you'd get a good laugh out of it. The minimum bid for Sammy Davis Jr.'s Black Book is $4,400 with the final hammer to come down at 8 p.m. Thursday. Good God. I wonder what my address book will be worth one day. Because he died when? 200 years ago? When did Sammy Davis Jr. die? Didn't he die when 1990 at the age of 64. So let's say 1990. So they wait 14 years to sell his address book? I don't quite get. How much do I bid for my address book, which is still is functioning and has cell phone numbers? If I wanted to raise money for charity, you know what I'd auction off? But I would never part with this. It's going to go into the university library that's accepted my archives. It would be my Bible. And the centerpiece of my library is going to be my Bible with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of what do they call those little yellow tabs? Post-its. It really is a well-worn book. It doesn't mean I'm religious. Not at all. I mean, I'm not religious at all, because if I were, I mean, we'd all be punished by God for what we're doing. I mean, if you read Leviticus, we should all be dead. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. So it's the end of July. They're going on vacation. I don't know why they're allowed to go on vacation. They're following George Washington's summer schedule. Mr. Boehner, Harry, there's air conditioning now. You could actually continue to work in August. The world's on fire. They're going on vacation, marching off like there's a need for it. KBET Radio, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Great show. I'll make it quick and simple. Basically, before I got prescribed by a doctor the marijuana, I was literally drinking a six-pack a day and close to a pack a day. I was a construction worker, and ever since...
All right, so you're on medical marijuana, and your life is better now. Do you have a computer in front of you, or are you...
I'm not
without a
computer, but...
John, I'm going to give you a quick math question. Are you high right now?
No, sir. That's the thing. I don't smoke when I'm at work. It's just like I don't drink when I used to do construction.
All right. How much is 1,254 divided by 3?
1,254 divided by 3?
Yes.
I mean, let's see. I would have
getting feedback. Every time I say a word to him, comes back in my ears.
Okay. 1,254 divided by 3. 3 goes into 12 four times. That's 12. And then you have 54 left over. 3 goes into... 54.
Okay, here's another question. 334. I'm going to give you a quick three columns of three to show you how your brain has slowed down. Compare it to a child from India who's here in America for 3 days, how fast he would do it. 334 plus 296 plus 132 equals how much?
334 plus 296 plus what?
132 equals how much? A kid who came here from India 3 days ago would have the answer already.
And three?
I'm sorry. Time is up, sorry. Look, I'm not trying to ridicule the guy, but, you know, it slows your brain down. That's why it's called dope. Why is marijuana called dope? Because it makes you smarter or dopier? Maybe Boehner could use a little bit to calm down a little bit.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the name of the game, and the name of the game is upskirt journalism. Welcome back to The Savage Nation. That's all you see in the papers today, upskirt journalism. The world is aflame. Congress is taking a vacation. Obama's wrecking the nation and saying he's just trying to help families. It's unbelievable to me. And here we are talking about marijuana legalization. I'm trying to warn you. I'm not telling you to get drunk. I'm telling you to watch out. I'm telling you about addiction. I'm telling you about damage to your IQ. And the kids don't want to hear it. These are the same kids who support Hamas because they don't know what Israel is. These are the same kids who think that the so-called children from Guatemala and El Salvador are just harmless little children who need help. And they think that anyone who opposes it is a racist. These are the same people who think marijuana is healthy for them. It's all part and parcel of the same complex. It's the marijuana political complex. If you care to talk about any of these topics, including will Israel survive 10 more years, I can't give you my phone number because we're sold out. Let's take some calls, though, on the subject. Internet bill. Go ahead. Which topic are you calling about?
Hi, doctor. Regarding the marijuana, I know some people, I know one guy actually, I don't know the guy, well, that uses a vaporizer. I wonder what's the comparative effects of that with the toxicants.
I see. In other words, they use a hookah to eliminate some of the toxicants in marijuana.
Is that the same thing? They're not smoked?
No, I would think that some of the toxicants are absorbed into the water. The thing to remember, though, is that ammonia... Let me read to you some of the toxicants found in a marijuana cigarette, for example. This is what you need to know. Ammonia, formaldehyde, hydrogen cyanide, mercury, lead, cadmium, chromium, nickel, arsenic, selenium, nitrous oxide, pyridine, quinoline, styrene, hydroquinone, tar and nicotine is found in marijuana, carbon monoxide is found in marijuana. And there are many other chemicals found in marijuana smoke, but you can't tell that to the potheads because they don't want to know it. And unless they hit the age of 50 and they have lung cancer or they have seen their income stream dry up, their opportunities in life die out, they're not going to listen to you. It's just something they have to live through. When they're in an addiction treatment, they'll say, gee, why didn't I listen to that guy on radio when I was 20? Why did I laugh at him and say, this or say that. I can't help you. I mean, it's not a moral thing to me. It's a medical thing to me. The last thing this country needs is stupid people. Why would you impair yourself in any way in this competitive world in which we live? I mean, let me ask you a basic question. Does impairing yourself in any way help you in the race for success? The answer is no. And yet many people will impair themselves in one way or another. That's because of weakness. Many people I know don't drink at all. Nothing. Zero. I admire them. I myself am not in that category, and yet I'm very successful. I write books that are bestsellers. I'm on the radio every day. I never miss a show unless I have a little vacation day or have to travel. I have not missed a show owing to health in a long time. I had a tooth pulled. I had an implant that I had to take off. I couldn't be on the air. I mean, things like that. But I don't miss radio shows. And the thing is that if I smoked marijuana, I would not be able to form a single word. Do you realize I could not do one show if I were stoned? And that's why the government wants you addicted. They want you to be unable to form a cogent thought. They want you to just be following the gas bubbles in the atmosphere in front of your eyes. Now, if it makes you feel good, you know, why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. That's the ethos of the 60s. Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it. That's the 60s. That's why we have what we have in the White House now. A whole generation, basically, of potheads have taken over Congress. They need an August vacation. I mean, the first thing I would do if I were in Congress is say we're eliminating the August vacation. We have air conditioning now. It didn't exist in George Washington's time when the schedule was set up. We have automobiles, airplanes. We have email. And there's no need to go home for the holidays. Whether they're going to go to Monticello to pick cherries off the cherry trees if they're in bloom now in late August. They have to help the children with the harvest for the corn in New York State. That's what Cuomo is going to do this summer. He's going to roll up his sleeves and he's going to shuck corn up in the Adirondack, in the Catskills. Can't be in session right now. He has to pick corn. So it's ludicrous. The whole thing's crazy. The country is functioning in like a 200-year-old system. 855-407-282. On the issue of will Israel survive in 10 years? That's a good topic, by the way. It's a very good one. I think it's a very good one. And I got to tell you something. You know, Henry Kissinger said Israel will not exist in 10 years, and we've been arguing over that for quite a while. And the main element in this is if the U.S. pulls back its financial and military support, Israel will have very few options. Now, in the article, he misses a few points, I think. He says Russia could be a patron of Israel, but so could India. Israel has great relations with India right now. India's got the fourth largest navy on the earth. India would be a fabulous partner for Israel, and they have a natural affinity for each other. They're both very forward-thinking, very inventive, highly educated societies at the upper levels. So I wouldn't say that the article is 100% accurate. Israel could easily align with India as opposed with the United States. So I don't think it's going to disappear so fast. I'm quite interested to see that Israel still has a fighting spirit. You would have thought that after all these years of Macy's charge cards, nonstop to New York City, to the clubs, porno, marijuana, that Israel couldn't fight anymore. But apparently they still know how to use their weapons. Apparently the boys are still willing to put on a uniform and a flak jacket and go into the tunnels and lose their lives for their country. It's pretty interesting to me. I mean, it's pretty interesting. You would have thought that they had lost their will to survive, according to the media. But when push came to shove, they're willing to live rather than die. They don't want to go into the ovens again. So I'm not so sure Israel's going to disappear so fast. But I will say this as a side note, which is not an answer in any way. It's just an anecdote. Big difference between an anecdotal tale I'm about to tell you and a fact. 20 years ago, I had an acquaintance who was an Israeli who I'd met in San Francisco in a Chinese restaurant, a very nice guy. And he was a third-generation Sabra. His grandfather had fought in the First War. His father fought, I think, in the 56 campaign. He fought in the Six Days War. He was a tank commander, a captain, a wonderful man. And he told me about the battle in his tank on the Golan Heights, where all the tanks were decimated on both sides. His tanks, the Israeli tanks, were blown up, and the Syrian tanks were blown up in a standoff. And he said the Syrians were great warriors, fabulous warriors. He had nothing but praise for them. As the mark of an intelligent man who understands his opponent, as any boxer will tell you, he respects his opponent for fear of getting killed. I mean, if you don't, you're a fool. Nevertheless, so he said the tanks had come to a halt. They both had their tracks blown off or whatever. And the Syrian tank commander was racing towards him with a gun, a handgun, to shoot him. And he said, at the last minute I pulled out, I had no more bullets left in my sidearm. He pulled out a flare gun and shot the guy with a flare gun. I mean, I don't have to tell you the picture that emerges from that one. And then we talked, we had a few drinks, and he said to me, you know, Michael, I was born here as my father was and all of that. He says, I actually envision a future where there is no Israel. He said that to me. He's a Sabra. He was. And he said to me, I envision the desert sands taking over our great civilization. Because once the Arab Muslims take over, if they should, it'll revert back to a pile of sand. Look at what they've done in their own countries. Maybe it was a pessimistic moment. I don't know, nor do I say this is presented to you with any factuality. But there are Israelis who see things in different ways than you may expect. They'll fight for their nation, but maybe they see a long-term picture of vicious snakes surrounding them. Surrounded by the most vicious snakes on the planet. Look at what the vicious snakes are doing to fellow Muslims who are Shia in Iraq. Look at what the Sunni Muslims are doing to Christian churches. Look at what the Sunni Muslims are doing to Shia to tombs going back hundreds of years of Shiite tombs, Christian churches, and Obama does nothing, focuses only on amnesty for illegal aliens from Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico. Think about that. It's all because of the lack of leadership in America. In fact, the opposite of lack of leadership. Obama's a very good leader. Not of America, though. That's the problem. He's a very good leader for the third world invasion of the country. Let's take some calls. KSFO, Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, sir. I'm anti-marijuana, and I do a lot of work around it. Well, one thing that I'm concerned about is why the president doesn't listen to his own National Institute of Drug Abuse director, Dr. Nora Volkow.
Why doesn't Obama listen to the American people on the flood of illegal immigrants into America? Why does he support Hamas instead of Israel? I mean, the questions do have answers, my friend.
I know, sir. He's a... I didn't want
to... Yes, you don't have to repeat the... No, it's okay. I accidentally said he's holding an Ebola conference. I didn't mean that. I swear to God. The White House is holding an Africa summit, you hear? And they're bringing in an entourage from three of the countries that are stricken worst by Ebola, where there's victims of it all over Africa. He's permitting it to go on, and the White House says the Africa summit in the U.S. will go on. I accidentally called it the Ebola conference. I didn't mean it, honest to God. It's crazy. There's a hell breaking out around the world. The CDC has issued an airline advisory. Flight restrictions are in place, but your leader, your dear leader, is bringing them in from Africa and says the Africa summit in the U.S. will go on. So he's inviting people for the Africa summit, and they're coming from the countries. He says, quote, "We have no plans to change any elements of the U.S.-Africa summit as we believe all air travel continues to be safe here." You hear this? This is the same moron, the deputy press secretary, Eric Schultz, who last week said that air travel was dangerous to Israel, but it's safe from an Ebola-ridden nation. Monday through Wednesday of next week, the White House is billing the event as the first gathering of its kind. And they're bringing people in from the countries with contagious diseases. Liberia. Can you believe the country you're living in, how it got this crazy? It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. You're not going to believe what just came up on the Drudge Report. Illegal immigrants to be housed in suites near San Antonio. Karnes City. Immigration and Customs Enforcement on Friday will open a refurbished detention center. Will house women and children who entered illegally through the valley. The 532-bed facility underwent a massive renovation to house women and children. The immigrants referred to as residents. The rooms will be suites. The suites are furnished with flat-screen televisions, landline telephones. It has a soccer field covered with artificial turf, ping pong tables, and a weight room. A charter school nearby will provide schooling and access to a library for the illegal aliens. Now, remember we heard about corrupt contractors during the Iraq War and Afghanistan War? And there certainly were many. If you could ever trace the money for who refurbished this building and who gave the contract, you'd see corruption on a scale you've never seen in American history. The VIG that's going to come off this immigration score is probably greater than that off the war. That's why they're all screaming for it. The VIG that's going to come off the illegal scams, housing, medicine, dental, transportation, protection, the VIG that's going to come off the top of that will exceed that of the Iraq war. Mike on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm honored. I love your show. My wife and I have been listening to it for quite some time. Live up in the North Bay area, and we are in a bastion of liberal lunacy. It's so wonderful to have you be in that beacon of light. It's refreshing. I love how you talk about your dog, Teddy, and the great...
Well, Mike, let me just react but like this. Look, I'm not a wise Latina, but I do the best I can.
I think you're phenomenal, sir. You
get the joke. It was a sarcastic remark. I mean, they said that Sotomayor was a wise Latina, which is why she deserved to be on the Supreme Court. It was just a sarcastic remark. I mean, if I were a Latino, I'd probably be president by now.
Forgive me, sir. We're living in one of the darkest chapters of American history, and it reminds me of a crazy movie I'd seen called Idiocracy. I don't know if you'd ever seen it, but...
We are living in a very dark phase. The Bay Area is probably the darkest city in America in terms of enlightenment. Yeah, I love it. It's a city that prides itself on being so enlightened and liberal. It is perhaps the darkest city in the United States of America in terms of mentality.
And turning our backs on Israel is insanity.
Well, not if you've been brainwashed to think that the Jews are evil and Hamas is good. Not if you've been raised on that narrative. You know, without knowing what the Hamas people do to their own people, they're hated amongst the Gazans themselves. They ran it like a prison camp. Any Gazan who stood up to them was killed. The family was thrown out of their own houses by Hamas. That didn't make it to the New York Times. I thank you for being a light, a lamp unto the nations. I thank you for saying, rather, I'm a lamp unto the nations. No, sorry, Bob. KKOB, speaking of Bob, Warren, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Warren. Warren.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I noticed earlier when you were talking about marijuana and possible, like, how to detect while driving under the influence.
Right.
Of it. Let you know that I am in law enforcement, and so I can talk a little bit briefly about our process when it comes to driving.
Give me a short version. How can you screen for marijuana use amongst drivers? What do you do?
Well, we do basically our standard field sobriety exercises as if you were under the influence of alcohol.
Oh, you mean you make them walk? But what if they get a lawyer, a mouthpiece, who says you have no right to ask them that?
Ask them for what?
Well, how did you know they were stoned? You made the assumption, therefore it could be a false arrest.
Well, this is like, if we pull over a driver and we feel that they are impaired in some way, we do our standardized field sobriety exercises on them to begin with.
No, I get it, but they would say with alcohol you had a reasonable suspicion that they were drunk because of the breath. But with marijuana, they'd say you had no reasonable suspicion because you couldn't detect it. So therefore, you acted in an unconstitutional manner. Case dismissed. You think I don't know how these cockamamie lawyers operate? Warren, you see, the lawyers have destroyed America. And they've only just got started. Now thousands of them are being hired by Obama to argue for flat-screen TVs and soccer fields for more illegal aliens from Guatemala and El Salvador. That's the world under Obama, who's getting ready for another three-week vacation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So, the big news today is that Boehner's having a nervous breakdown. His bill, which was a step towards amnesty, failed. They pulled it because of you. You melted the phone lines down to the White House. And the sellouts from the Better Business Bureau of Mexico and the Czech Pants Republican Country Club are just shocked that the American people do not want to welcome the third world into their houses. Meanwhile, Jerry Brown is in Mexico on a junket where he came up with the equivalent of his moonbeam statement from many years ago. Jerry Brown said climate change will drive Mexicans north. It leaves you speechless. It just leaves you speechless. You've got the entire sellout administration and the Repubs trying to sell America out to Mexico, Guatemala, melt the border down, turn us into a single nation, despite the diseases, the drugs, the criminality, the mismatch between the cultures. 50% of people of Hispanic heritage who are here legally want them deported, incidentally. Don't assume that all Hispanics want them here because they're their blood brothers. You know, don't buy that garbage. The only ones pushing it are the Indian chiefs. So anyway, that's one story. Meanwhile, in Israel is another story. Have you noticed that the attacks in Israel have suddenly come to a halt? They virtually stopped. The foaming mouth liberals who were ripping Israel to shreds over the last few days have shut their mouths. Why all of a sudden did the vermin in the media who were supporting Hamas shut their big mouths and stop attacking Israel? Have you thought about that? Where have they gone all of a sudden? Were they on August vacation? No, that's not what happened. They realized they were found out for who they are. The same people who stabbed America in the back were stabbing our ally in the back, Israel. So they shut up and they went on to another topic. But now we come to the next question, which I raised, and that is, Kissinger says Israel will not exist in 10 years. I know it's a shocking question. You assume that they're winning this war, which on the face of it, they are. They're winning the battle. I don't know that they're winning the war against radical Islam. With friends like us, I don't know that anyone can win this war against radical Islam. But that's a story for another day. Here's some good news out of Israel from Debka Review. Israeli Air Force takes out 40 mosques. Israeli Air Force blew up 40 mosques with new drones because they were rocket factories. They brought in a new drone into Gaza, and they using the new Hermes 900 UAV known as the Star, it can fly at 30,000 feet. It performs surveillance, communication at high altitudes, carries a heavy weapons load. They know they were bomb factories. They blew them up. Air Force takes out 40 mosques, brings new drone into Gaza operations. So the Israelis know what they're facing. They're facing annihilation or survival. We are so stupid, we don't understand that the enemy within is annihilating us. We have no idea that the enemy within is out to annihilate us. But okay, I'll just keep doing my thing. 40 mosques, in total at least 50 so-called mosques, have been blown up along with their stockpiles of rockets and arms catches. You see, to the Muslim, the mosque is used for, it's a multi-use facility. So not just what you think is it's a multi-use facility. It's very ecological. It can be used for prayer. It can be used for storing rockets. It can be used for launching rockets. It's not like a church in America or a synagogue. It's a multi-use facility. It's very ecological. So the Israelis said, well, we know they pray in the mosques, but they also stockpile rockets and arms, so we're going to blow them up. And that's what's going on. And the brand new Hermes 900 UAV is an unmanned drone known as the Star, never before used in wartime operations. The drone's debut in Israel was rushed forward because of its useful properties, says Debka. Listen to this. This drone can fly nonstop for 30 hours at an altitude of 30,000 feet. It conducts surveillance, it gathers intelligence, it relays communications back and forth to military personnel in the field. And then when they determine, for example, that the mosque is really a rocket factory, a rocket storage facility, they have 300 kilograms of explosives in the drone's warhead. And the fact of the matter is it was developed entirely in Israel by Elbit Systems. Elbit Systems. Can you imagine if we had fought in Iraq and Afghanistan with these rules of engagement? Can you imagine the country we'd be living in if we could have actually beaten them in Afghanistan instead of having this one have our boys run with their tails between their legs out of Iraq and see the worst scum on the planet take over the Sunni triangle where they're killing Christians in a way that we've never seen since the Crusades? So that's what's going on in the world. Will Israel exist in 10 years? Now, why do I raise that question? I read a fascinating article that I was mulling over, and it was written by a Russian who we tried to get on the show. I think the guy's a stone cold genius. Alexander Mastrovoy. And he wrote for WorldTribune.com. See, okay, our analysis is checkers. One board, checkers. This guy's analysis is seven different fields at once, in several different dimensions, at once. It requires an educated mind. It requires an ability to carry many different complex subjects at the same time. So he starts the article by saying, will Israel disappear in 10 years? As Kissinger said, in 10 years, Israel will cease to exist. He says, well, maybe it borders on the senile. Is it senile? Is it prophetic? Or is it merely pragmatic, he asks. We know Kissinger is very controversial. We know that although he is of Jewish descent, he is not excessively sympathetic to Israel. In fact, the writer says, he inclines to the syndrome of self-hatred so fashionable nowadays in the Jewish elite. That's about Kissinger. Then he says, but at the same time, Kissinger is not an exalted pop diva, a cheap populist, or a rebellious professor. He is an experienced, prudent politician who takes responsibility for his utterances. Will Israel exist in 10 years? He said, so let's try to analyze the situation. And he goes into the whole discussion of Iran. And I can't read you all the details. Turkey, Iran, they're all involved. Jordan, Hussein, Sunni radicalism. And then he gets down to Russia, which I predicted the other day. And he says, as Obama withdraws from his support of Israel entirely in the last 2 years of administration, as you see, you know Obama hates Israel. He has to get up and say that? He's a politician, so he deceives you. But it's all clear to anyone who has a brain that he has abandoned Israel and he's been supporting Hamas. So has Hillary Clinton. So has the entire Washington establishment, for that matter. Just as they've embraced Guatemalans over American veterans, they've embraced Hamas over Israel. They won't tell you that, but they go where the money is, Jake. That's that story. Officials fear largest Ebola outbreak in history could go global. All right, what do you want me to say? Immigrants and epidemics? I wrote the book on it. Now people who dropped out of high school are experts on virology. They're trying to tell you about it. Good, all right, the northern area. Washington Post timeline on calls for impeachment. I covered that. I'm number one. You know, for years, even though I've been on the radio 19 years, they pretended I didn't exist, the Washington Post. They recognize that there are other people in the media than the ones they've been bashing all these years, and some of us are actually quite knowledgeable. We may not match their political orientation. Those who matched their political orientation died when the Communist Manifesto died. But other than that, the fact is I know what I'm talking about. I back it up with facts. I don't mind that others are following in my sled tracks. That's okay. But here we are. He's about to do something now that is so clearly anti-American, unconstitutional. You've got to study what the executive order is. He's violating the whole meaning of the word executive order. You're not allowed to make law with an executive order. He's making law. Him and his consigliere make it up as they go along. It's like a gang took over the country. He's making up law. It's impeachable. Every one of his executive actions, if they go beyond what they're allowed to do and actually create law, he is violating the law, and he can be impeached for it. You know, high crimes and misdemeanors. What do you mean by a high crime? If you break the law, isn't that a high crime? It's bigger than a stain on a purple dress. All of his scams and crimes against America would be exposed during impeachment hearings. It doesn't matter that his base, you know, wouldn't like it. It doesn't matter that they'll give the Democrats money. What will matter is that people will finally get to see what he's actually done to this country. And he's done a lot of damage, and he's got 2 big years left. Very big years left. And look what Bush did in the last 3 months to this country. Remember he crashed the economy? You forgot that. I warned you it was coming. Remember?
I did. Hold up.
I remember in the last 3 months of Bush's reign, I said, wait a minute. He's a fiscal socialist. He's not finished yet. As bad as he's been, he's done some great things, done some good things. But as bad as he's been financially, he's a fiscal socialist, he's only warming up. Watch the damage he does between September through December. And that's when he broke the economy, and that's when he gave us, that's when the establishment gave us Obama. He was the anti-Bush, don't you remember? So I say the same thing to you because I can see things you can't see. That's why I'm paid to be on talk radio. You know, I don't care what my detractors say. I wouldn't have survived all of these years as a best-selling author and as a number one rated talk show host on the best stations in the country if people didn't listen to me because, yes, there's a humor factor when I'm in the right mood. And yes, because I have an entertainment and I have a great voice, the best voice in radio. It is the best voice in radio. I was given that as a gift. You know that. I could read the phone book and you'd listen to me. I would do it with my savage inflection. It's a great voice. It's a command voice. But my politics are also important. Make no mistake about it, because I usually say things and then back it up with the reasons I say them. So I'm telling you that what's coming after the election is totally worrisome. I mean, what are you waiting to happen? What does he have to do till you wake up to what's going on? We've had a revolution in the country. The country has had a revolution right in front of your eyes. But the average American is so naive, they don't even see it. They can't understand it. They're so gullible, they don't even understand. It's like Gulliver's Travels. They don't see a revolutionary in front of their eyes. They see a slick con man, and they buy his goods. It's like a Bible salesman. If he went around the Midwest, he could have made a fortune in the old days selling Bibles. Can you imagine? Who could say no to this guy? You would have to take the Bible. He's so charming. I think buy the Bible from the guy. Because it guarantees that you go to heaven if you buy the Bible from Obama. So he's still selling the Bible to these true believers. There's nothing he could do that would be wrong for them. That's what I'm trying to say to you. As poisonous as his manipulations are. And, you know, what do you have to do? I have to list them for you? You know what came out today? You remember Lois Lerner? We're not talking about the Superman comic. We're talking about Lois Lerner, that monster, that loudmouth monster who ran the IRS and used it as a personal vendetta against political opponents, meaning conservatives. It came out in emails that were discovered that this witch, this harridan at the IRS, Lois Lerner, called conservative crazies, and I can't even say the word, it's AHs. As Eric Holder comes under new pressure to investigate, look who they're asking. They're going to go to Frank Nitti to investigate Al Capone. Mr. Nitti, you went to law school. Will you please investigate Al Capone? Yeah, right. Lerner slammed right-of-center Americans in an email to a colleague in 2012, 7 months before the Tea Party targeting scandal broke. Then she wrote, maybe we are through if there are that many AHs, she wrote, responding to a comment about conservative talk radio programs. Here's what Lois Lerner, we don't need to worry about illegal alien terrorists, she snarked. It's our own crazies that will take us down. Lerner presided over years of alleged partisan discrimination against conservative groups that applied for nonprofit tax benefits. This is not only impeachable, it's go to jail. Lois Lerner, please step before the judge. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Savage Court is now in session. Please state your name. I'm Lois Lerner. And what did you do, Miss Lerner? I was a former IRS official. Miss Lerner, while you were in there, is it true that you targeted conservatives by calling them vile names? Well, yes, I did, because they are that. All right, guilty. Here's the punishment. The punishment is your assets, all the assets of your mother, your father, your daughter, and your sons will be seized immediately, and you'll be deported to Guantanamo. Next, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I have had the pleasure of traveling to Africa a number of times over the years, including 4 trips as First Lady. And I brought my mother and my daughters along with me whenever I can.
At our expense.
So believe me, the blood of Africa runs through my veins, and I care deeply about Africa's future.
We've got to get some resources to fight wildfires out west. Help, mm-hmm. You know, that's a serious situation. We need more resources to deal with the situation in the southern part of the border, right, with some of those kids. We got to be able to deal with that in a proper way.
So she had a nice trip to Africa because the blood of Africa runs in her veins, and he needs more money to deal with those kids. And the world goes on with America spinning off its axis, being run off the rails by the Obama team. So here we are sitting here watching the world go round. France has just granted asylum to Iraqi Christians. Socialist France, run by a real Frenchman, even though he's a socialist, he's a Frenchman born in France, said it is willing to grant asylum to Iraqi Christians in the face of a jihadist onslaught against them by the Muslims. The ISIS Muslim murderers are blowing up churches, forcing Christians to convert to Islam or killing them. And so France has said they will take them in, while our own State Department said we should take them in, but Obama overruled it. I mean, how many different things have to happen until you realize who he is? Okay, I made my main Obama point today. The House dropped the vote. Did you hear this one? That's the big story of the day. The House Republicans have abandoned the vote on the border security bill in face of Tea Party opposition. The House Republicans have abandoned the vote on the border security bill in the face of opposition from the average American voter. Don't go for the Tea Party words. They're making it a dirty word. Tea Party is not the Nazi Party. The true Nazi Party are the liberal socialists who have destroyed our country. I'm telling you right now, executive amnesty will make immigration enforcement impossible. It will melt the border with Mexico. We will become a third world nation literally overnight. Border agents are under attack. 1,000 children fleeing so-called violent Honduras have been sent to violent Chicago. The godfather of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, welcomes the 1,000 children. Illegal alien crime victims have invited Boehner to the border to see what's going on. A chickenpox outbreak in one of the holding tanks for these kids led to a lockdown of the facility. What's going to happen when chickenpox comes to your child's school? Who are you going to blame? Me? Blame yourself. A sheriff said over 120,000 illegals have been arrested near Tucson. Colorado is overwhelmed by immigrant license requests so they can vote Democrat. Jerry Brown, Moonbeam, is now saying climate change will drive Mexicans north. You hear this? Meanwhile, pandemic. You know what a pandemic is? Well, you'll find out real soon as our borders melt down and Ebola is raging around the world. Liberia, Africa, warning of a global pandemic. Europe and Asia are on alert. America, though, we're not on alert. We don't have to be on alert. We're good Americans. We welcome all, even people with Ebola. I'm telling you, the people who are running America, from Obama down, don't know Ebola from Shinola. This is Michael Savage. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you the real America.
Savage.